You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Evening, where you join us on a program known as After Dinner Mints. And Alhamdulillah, with all its segments coming through. And yeah, the cherry on the top is Travel Express. Travel Express, co-hosted by Ibrahim Badacha. I call him my Ibrahim Ba. He's an astute businessman. He's a humanitarian. He's also brilliant at civic work. He does, and many other things, which he, you know, he's very humble not to tell you about. But I know what Ibrahim Ba does. And great to have you this evening, Ibrahim Ba, on your segment called Travel Express. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafat, and our listeners to Radio Markaz Sahaba. Alhamdulillah, by the qudrat of Allah, I am well, as can be expected. And as always, you know, looking forward to this Tuesday night slot on Travel Express.
Alhamdulillah, Travel Express, alhamdulillah, it's synonymous with you, Ibrahim Ba. And, you know, with all the travels, and they say travel broadens a mind. And, you know, your mind has been broadened to such a, you know, capacity that I'm so glad that you can share your experiences or your encyclopedic mind with our listeners, Ibrahim Ba. I truly mean that.
Well, look, Brother Shafar, the thing is, you know, one is truly blessed, you know, in that sense. You know, travel on its own is an education that you can't buy for the love of money, really. You know, to be there personally, to experience the different cultures, the different people, the different destinations on earth. You know, the thing is, it is said one of the reasons for travel is to go out and learn and experience and marvel at the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believe me, the earth is so beautiful, one can only but imagine what heaven will be like, seriously.
No, beautifully said. And you know, it is said that when you go out on travel, and when you go to these mega cities or even Mumbai and so forth, what they do, they very discreetly take you to all the beautiful places and they keep you away from the slum areas. Ibrahim Ba, is this a general trend with most tour guides or with most touring companies?
Well, I guess it depends on what you want to see, Brother Shafat. The thing is, it's your call, ultimately. The thing is, if you want to go on one of these sort of, I call them canned, like off-the-shelf sort of tours, that they take you to specific areas, you know, and you are quite happy with that, well, that's fine. But if you are the discerning traveler, you know, the one that's been around and wants to get off the beaten track, then again, you determine and you decide where you want to go. All you need is to fly over there, get some reasonably priced or decent accommodation that you can live in. And you can go wherever you please, you know, to your heart's content and see the place for what it is, really, warts and all. And there is no city that I know that doesn't have its darker side. You just got to scratch the surface a little bit, and everything comes right up front and personal. So I guess it's a question of who you're going with. If you are going as a guest of the tourism, National Tourism Board of that country, then of course they'll take you to all the fancy hotels and the nice places and things like that. But if you feel like it, then take a cab yourself and go out to where you believe you should be going to see what you'd like to see or want to see. And that's where you really get, you know, in tune with the vibe of the place and the people and things like that. And believe me, some of the best experiences can be had off the beaten track. And it's a question of, you know, you're wanting to do specific things at a destination. And look, ultimately, Brother Shafat, all the hotels will look the same after a while. You couldn't tell whether you're in Johannesburg or New York or wherever the case may be. But look for the people, because they are the ones that will enrich your life with the various experiences that you cannot even begin to imagine.
You know, Ibrahim Ba, you make a very good point. But, you know, as you said, your choice is yours. And you can go the route B if you want to. But then, you know, when you're taking, criminality is rife all over the world. And especially now, it has multiplied, you know, million folds. So, you know, to take that B route, and, you know, it could be very risky indeed, Ibrahim Ba.
Well, it could, but look, the thing is, South Africans, by and large, are some of the most intrepid travelers the world has seen. I mean, we go out there every day not knowing if we're going to come back again, right? So we're always looking over our shoulder, and the ladies will clutch their bags tighter, you know, under their arms and things like that. It's a natural reaction, a natural tendency that we've grown accustomed to because of the fact that we are so immersed in criminality in South Africa. And yes, it is getting worse by the day. But I think we have adapted very well in that sense. And we are streetwise and street smart, the majority of South African travelers. And I'm talking from experience of 42 years where we have travelers that have been booking trips overseas at the first, second, or third generation. And they are smart, trust me. In fact, when I went years ago to, I think it was New York City, yeah, and then everyone told me, oh, be very careful, don't go down the east side. And damn it, you know what, I made a point of going down the east side, and I wasn't fazed by anybody. I thought our area in Queen Street was more rough than what I saw over there, seriously.
Well, how about the Queen's Brigade? Who you knew in the Queen's Brigade in Queen Street, Ibrahim Ba?
I didn't know too many people there. I think more than anything else was more the guys in Sparks Road, the Salots and the Crimson Leagues and Brickfield Road area where we grew up, of course. But I know the Queen Brigade were quite something, quite a handful on their own as well.
You know, I used to walk down Queen Street as a lighty, you know, coming from Spingo. And I knew most of them. They used to just look at me, oh, Khan, eh? Khan, yes, Khan, Khan, and wave at me. And there was one Peyton guy there. And, oh, I got to know each. There was a whitey. He looked like Whitey. Hey, Whitey had that look, you know. I mean, so much of history there, Ibrahim Ba. I wonder if he's still living. You remember Whitey?
What was good is there was that unwritten rule that nobody from the area was interfered with at any time. But let somebody else from outside come and try their luck. And they'll go off better, worse for the experience, really. And we used to watch that almost every time. And never ceased to amaze me, you know, and they'd actually protect you if there was anything going on that, you know, they'd stand up for you, so to speak. So there was some good, you know, among the mean streaks that they had in them. So, yeah, that was them.
Alhamdulillah, as you said, if they liked you, you were in a good place with them, Ibrahim Ba. And as you said, it was more of a territorial thing. Mm. And, you know, they come and visit us now and then. But alhamdulillah, time moves on, Ibrahim Ba. And we look at, we talk about this. Five places that tells the forgotten history of KZN. Mm. Is there history forgotten in KZN? Talk to me, Ibrahim Ba.
I dare say there is, because lots of stuff have happened before you and I even came on this earth. So I think, yeah, it's worth a look at. Because look, like you know, Brother Shabbat, everywhere you go, each place has a story of its own to tell, you know. And sometime with the passage of time, one forgets. But nevertheless, those memories are there, the actual, you know, the incidents that occurred there in history are recorded. And KwaZulu-Natal is no exception in the sense that it has a rich historical background. And we sometimes tend to overlook it, but there are about five or more places that are prominent that stick out. And one, would you believe, is the, and listen to this name, the Sao Jiao shipwreck in Port Edward. Now, I didn't know for the life of me that there had been a shipwreck in Port Edward. That's just down south. And this happened in Port Edward, and the records show that South Africa's earliest contact with sea voyages from Portugal dated way back in 1552, when the ship was returning to Portugal from India and it ran aground during a storm. And legend has it that some of the survivors actually assimilated with local tribes, and that heritage is celebrated to this very day through festivals and food and commemorative tributes. And if one ventures down to the coast there in Port Edward, you can see the monument that was erected to commemorate the lost souls of this vessel. So that's the one down south. Then we go north again to the battlefields that are quite famous with the British, I would think, in Ladysmith. And Ladysmith, of course, assumed center stage during the Anglo-Boer War when it fell under siege from October 1899 to March of 1900. And this was set on the banks of the Klip River, you know, the one that floods every time it rains heavily. And Ladysmith, will you have it? It was named after Sir Harry Smith's Spanish wife. That's why it was called Ladysmith, right? It was established in 1850 and served as a staging post for those fortune hunters who were going to the gold fields, either in the then Transvaal or for diamonds in Kimberley. And this siege, it placed Ladysmith and the British there, garrison there, in a very precarious position, because there were about 12,000 of those British soldiers were faced with defending the besieged town. And the Boers, on the other hand, saw this as a strategic move that could have toppled great Britain. Oh, don't know what's so great about them anymore. Anyway, moving on, there's Fort Nong Khai in Ishawe, excuse me. And this old fort was created in the middle of the Dlinza forest in Ishawe in 1883. And close to 90 barefoot Zulu police known as Nong Khai or restrainers moved into this building to maintain, would you believe, law and order in Zululand. And today it functions as Zululand's biggest museum village. Right, and while there are quite a few of these museums there, this historical museum traces the history of the area from the Iron Age, would you believe, to present day, and focuses on the cross-cultural influences of the past 200 years that were brought in to Zululand from outside. And incidentally, one also learns about South Africa's only white Zulu Nkosi, or chief. And his name was John Dunn. Now, I believe this, Brother Shafat, he managed to find himself 48 wives and fathered 117 children. So I dare say he must have been rather busy. Mm. And you can also find out how a Zulu hut is built and see King Mpande's wheelchair, catch a glimpse of brass armbands worn by Zulu kings and soldiers, and some of the incredible mahogany and teak furniture that was originally used and owned by John Dunn himself. So quite a lot to do there in Ishawe. Moving further north, we come to the Hilltop Resort in Shlushluwe. Now, the Hilltop Resort, even though in current day, is the pride of the Shlushluwe Mfolozi area. And this area once served as a hunting domain for the Zulu royal house of King Shaka, as he proclaimed the area to be his personal hunting grounds. And the resort is situated on the edge of a forested hill, and it offers fine views of the surrounding countryside. And apart from the fact that there's a big five there that you can see over there, this game reserve covers 96,000, which you believe, hectares, and is made up of both the Shlushluwe and Mfolozi reserves. And the hilltop holds the distinction of being the oldest tourist resort in KwaZulu-Natal, and provide a variety of accommodation. Finally, we go on to the Luthuli Museum in Kwadugusa, otherwise known as Tanga. And the Luthuli Museum was officially opened in August of 2004. And it includes the original 1927 home of Chief Albert Luthuli, who I had the pleasure of meeting, though I was a youngster then. And that is situated on Luthuli Street in Groutville, Stanger. Today, the home is a national monument. Set in lovely landscape gardens, the grounds provide ideal setting in which to absorb history and achievements of a man who became the first African to receive the Nobel Prize for Peace. I didn't even know that, seriously. And he was a leader ahead of his time whose commitment to nonviolence, non-racialism, democracy, and human rights has left an enduring legacy. So those are the five main ones that come to mind. And like I said, many of those have been around long before you and I were born. So it's understandable if we forgot them. But it's a good reminder.
Yeah, Jazakallah for bringing that alive, Ibrahim Ba. And you talk about Kwadugusa, Shaka Zulu is buried there in Stanger, Ibrahim Ba.
Yeah.
So Stanger is a very quadugus. And also talking about shipwrecks. What about the Oceanos? You remember that sank? It sank off the Wild Coast, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. It did sink down there somewhere, Brother Shafat. And unfortunately, I haven't followed up on that. It was a Greek. It was a Greek ship, of course. At that time, I think most of the ships that were, carrying passengers and passenger liners and cruise liners were then based in Greece. And that was one of those. And I know it was quite a story where the captain allegedly jumped ship before everyone else. So,
you know what, Ibrahim, your grandson there,
he's coming and whispering something here. Yeah. I didn't quite hear what you were saying.
Talk to him.
He wanted, of course, a charger. They're forever with their devices.
Oh, I thought he wanted a chocolate, so I said, hey, give it to him, Ibrahim.
Chocolate, they raid the bar every time.
Mashallah, you're blessed indeed. Yeah, I was, you won't believe it. I watched the ship leave the Durban Harbour that same fateful afternoon.
Yes.
I actually saw it leave. Mm. And next moment I saw the news, this ship is sinking.
Yeah.
And I said, can you believe it? Yeah, the captain was out. He was already out. And there were, the passengers are panicking. But I think everyone was saved there, Ibrahim Ba.
Yeah. Most of them were, I think, apart from having a truly shocking and bad experience, I think they got away with their lives. So, I think all's well that ends well, and if your time's not up, it's not up. That's all there is to it, Brother Shafal.
Yeah, and that shipwreck, no one wants to go and visit it, eh?
No.
It's not of importance like the Portuguese one.
No.
Well, Ibrahim Ba, a cautionary tale from a U.S. tourist visiting South Africa in the middle of load shedding. This should be interesting.
Well, look, the thing is, we are all either, one form or the other, we attach to our devices. Like my grandson was just wanting to borrow a charger. That just shows you that if you're on the road, then nothing can be more frustrating or having your devices run out of power. And worse still, in South Africa, to think that we're having such a rolling mass blackouts countrywide is just shocking. And, it's hard to keep your phone and computer charged while you're on the road, especially in South Africa. And as many people, and I'm saying this by far the majority of the people, they suffer withdrawal symptoms immediately if they're not in touch with the world or the universe, so to speak, online. And this is taking place more and more frequently. In fact, I just had a message that came through that I had read earlier, where it is said that one wonders what is really going on in ESCOM, because all the neighboring countries that get power from, they don't know what a load shedding is. And here we are in the midst of it. And incidentally, past years, the average number of days used to be in the 30s, went to 40s this year. And we still got October, November, three months to go already, 68 days of load shedding. So it's just getting worse by the minute. Coming back to our topic, the thing is, one must learn, especially if you're a traveler, how to navigate, through these blackouts and circumvent basically the lack of power. So to begin with, you must never go anywhere without two extra power banks. The bigger, the better, of course. Then you got a trade-off between how many hours of charge you're going to get or the weight that you're going to carry, especially if you're flying. So that needs to be taken into consideration. And also there are various plugs. And you always get these batteries that seem, forever to register low battery all the time. And that leads to travelers constantly looking for places to get their next charge. And whilst universal adapters are all the rage, of course, I didn't know this until I researched it, that there are more than a dozen commonly used electrical outlet configurations in the world. So we've got our own fancy 15-amp 3-pin plug that is unique to us. So have the Italians, Americans, and everybody else. So even if your adapter fits the socket, there are various plug top configuration that might or might not support your adapter. And if your adapters don't work, then obviously you've got to head to your closest electronic store. But take your cord and your plug with you, especially if you're in an area where they don't speak English. So that'll help you get hooked up. And when you can't find the right adapter and you're at a hotel, I was in, where was this? In Peru, yeah. And of course, my plug wasn't fitting and I hadn't brought the charger with, the adapter with. And sure enough, I spoke to the handyman over there and he fixed my plug up. He put one from somewhere and just gave it to me. So they're quite helpful when it comes to that. And one must always look for hotels that are committed to providing ample power during a stay. And these days, some hotels have included a built-in wireless charger and outlets in the rooms and community areas. And the most forward-looking hotels now have charging stations on nightstands and desks, so you don't have to be on your hands and knees looking for the nearest wall outlet. And also, the latest adapters are very versatile, and you can now buy smart luggage with chargers that are built into the bag, the luggage itself. And these are proving very popular with professionals in the travel industry, and for good reason, too. And lastly, you must always monitor your electronics and always keep your devices charged as far as possible. And this is especially important for digital nomads that we keep talking about, whose livelihood is reliant purely on connectivity. And the maxim is, when you have an opportunity to charge your devices, take it always, so you won't be in the dark, especially in South Africa.
Yeah, beautiful indeed, Ibrahim. But, you know, as you said, especially in South Africa, you know, it seems as if, I don't know how true this is, but they say our choice grade coal is presently being exported like it's gone out of fashion.
Because
I heard that Richards Bay and all our ports are busy to capacity. How true is that, Ibrahim?
Yeah, it is true, because look, this World Economic Forum and all this people that talk about the Great Reset and all this lunatic people that are in power keep talking about this Great Green New Deal or something that sort. Right. And they went and decommissioned all their plant, coal-fired plant, nuclear power stations and all that. And now with the way the situation is, they are facing a terribly cold and dark winter, especially in Europe and in America as well. Not to forget Britain as well. So what's the next best thing they can do is they can, remove them from mothballs and start firing up them. And that is why there is such a huge demand for coal. And of course, you know, we have we are blessed with the wealth of coal resources here. So yeah, that what you're saying is very true. And I don't think the Port of Richards Bay can cope with the demand right now. It works 24/7 and still the demand currently is just insatiable. And you can understand why. But like I said, there are going to be bleak days ahead come December for the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, bleak days, and but they're still so stubborn. It's all over a scenario that they dug for themselves. Mm. They actually dug their own hole, but yes, they are stubborn. I mean, that's the capital letter S, stubborn, Ibrahim Ba. Mm. Well, how do you talk to people like this?
Well, you don't, and that is, there was an interesting article. The last time I mentioned tongue-in-cheek, the lunatics run the asylum. Very much the same is there, and one of these very prominent writers in one of the main magazines overseas posed the question, are leaders lunatics? And of course, there was a resounding yes to that, because Germany itself is committing suicide, as you know, right, by following all these harebrained philosophies and policies. And this is the agenda. If one looks at it that way, this is the real agenda of the Great Reset, to make beggars out of all of us and eliminate us, en masse. So it's all going according to plan. It's unfolding. But if you are smart, you can see it for what it is. And now this talk about Russia calling up a partial mobilization of 300,000 troops, and then the US and the UK and Germany all wanting to supply Ukraine with the weaponry that's more lethal and with the longer range to reach cities in Russia. And, of course, that blonde Liz Truss, I don't know, she's having blonde moments like you can't believe. Even before she was elected, said she'll have no hesitation to press the nuclear button and launch a first strike on Russia. So when Putin comes back and says that he's going to go nuclear if they even threaten the integrity of the country, then suddenly he's a monster and he's this and he's that. But lots going on behind the scenes over there that is not necessarily apparent, you know, to the ordinary man in the street. But dark days ahead, and I dare say we're looking at Third World War before long.
Yeah, Ibrahim Ba, and we got yakin in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Oh, absolutely.
We will, and we'll tie our camels. Well, the time has flown. It nearly gone 26 minutes, Ibrahim Ba. Your parting words this evening?
No, man, the time can't go so quickly. It's not
Look
right.
at your stopwatch, Ibrahim Ba, and you'll be amazed. It's,
All right. Well, look, I'm going to leave you all with something to think about, especially all the men folk here. And this was said by none other than Hazrat Ali. He said, Be respectful to women, for they are the mothers of mankind. Now, how true is that? And yet so many of us, you know, are guilty of not respecting our women, you know, sufficiently and caring and loving them for who they are and what they represent. Because without them, we wouldn't be here.
Well said, Ibrahim Ba. Revere the womb that bore thee. Beautiful indeed. And you have a mashallah beautiful evening ahead, Ibrahim Ba. I know your schedule is unreal. And my fervent dua is Allah give you the strength, Allah give you the power and the energy to carry on and keeps you in this dunya for, you know, you're a big benefit to insan. Yeah. Ibrahim Ba, have a blessed evening ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair for the opportunity once again, Brother Shafat, and thank you to all those listeners to Radio Markaz Sahaba out there. And let me leave you with a hearty Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, Alukalo, for brilliant engineering. People, keep it locked on to Markaz Sahaba for beautiful programming and lots of knowledge coming through. From the team and I, till we meet you again, we bid you Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.